Hey, it's a great day to be in God's house. Amen? Amen. Are you glad to be here? It's a big day. It's a big day for us. We've got a special guest with us today. Jeff Anderson is here from Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope, we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks where we've really been talking about it much in our services, but along the way, many of us were familiar with it already. But it is a tremendous organization that works in so many different ways to help people while also preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ at the same time. I'm not going to get into the details about that right now because I already know my brother's going to share a lot of those details today, but I have seen so much of what they do firsthand, not just seen it in a video, not just read it in a periodical or whatever, but being on the field with them, being in Haiti, participating with them in disaster relief in different areas, in New Orleans and New York, and participating in just some large outreaches they've done in cities like Indianapolis and other ones. And I've just had the great opportunity to travel around with them along the way and see firsthand of a lot of what they do and believe so strongly in them. God has a heart for those who are poor and less fortunate. Amen. It's the heart of God, and the Bible speaks to us strongly about doing our part in that. You know, if somebody ever asks you the question, if God is love and God loves everyone, then why doesn't God do something about the fact that there are people who are poor and suffering in the world? Well, God did do something about that. He gave them you. Man, I should have had some amens off of that one. And I'm not the preacher today. That is what he did. What God did is he gave them us. When you read the word of God, the answer to that, the answer to the needs of the world is the church. It's us. God gave them us. So it's not that God didn't do anything. It's that God gave them us to respond. And we'll have a unique opportunity to give generously today to help with this as well. But we've already given in the past also. And today's a great opportunity for us also even to get an update on what's happening with Convoy of Hope around the world and things that are going while the message is preached to us as well. So Jeff Anderson, if you would come, give him a big round of applause as he does. I already know he's bringing a great word to you today. You too. Welcome.
Good morning, Silver Spring Assembly. Hallelujah. It's always good to communicate to smiling faces and see people. So first time to be in Silver Spring. Been to this part of the country many, many times. Superstorm Sandy, of course, responding 9/11, which celebrate. I can't believe it. The 18th anniversary of 9/11 this Wednesday. We are currently responding to Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas. We have teams deployed, goods and people on the ground as well as on the East Coast. So I'll give you a little bit of update about that. The best part about me lives in Ozark, Missouri right now. Her name is Mary Beth. She has been my wife for 33.3 years. And she's not here, but you give the token hand, that will glorify God because she has put up with me for a lot of years. So we met at Bethany Bible College many years ago, have three beautiful daughters, two amazing son-in-laws, and two grandbabies, and those are game changers. Hallelujah. I love cranking up my granddaughters and then sending them home. It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm one of those papas. So I'm delighted to be with you. I want to say and give honor to your pastor and Sarai. Pastor James and Sarai have been great friends for many, many years. We have traveled together. We've been to many places together. But you know what I love about your pastor is, like, he's getting younger. I met him 8-some years ago, and, like, he is in great shape. And you are blessed to have the pastor that you have at Silver Spring Assembly. Glory to God. And he did not tell me to say that. I'm telling you. I just... having been a pastor for almost 23 years, I know you got good times and tough times in the ministry. It's just the way it goes. But how many of you know you can never miss when you purpose to give to missions and partner with God's heart of compassion? Guess what? 40% of the earth hasn't heard about Jesus. And today, 16,000 children will perish because of lack of access to good, nutritious food and clean drinking water. And at Convoy of Hope, that is unacceptable to us. We want the rest of the world to know about Jesus, and we want to make life better for those who are hurting and in poverty and suffering. So you're part of the solution. How many of you like solving problems? Anybody? You are part of the problem solving today that we have at Convoy, and you'll hear more about that. So thank you, your pastor. I love your pastor, and we're proud to be a partner of yours. Convoy of Hope was started 25 years ago. in Northern California, and God has taken it worldwide. 126 nations, all 50 U.S. states. And guess what? God is using food, water, and critical supplies during times of crisis to build bridges to people's hearts, to open their hearts to Jesus. And that's the ultimate goal for us, is to point people to Christ in a loving, respectful way. So today, this is one of our trucks on the screen, as you'll see in just a moment. There it is. And those were have been provided for us through Speed the Light and young people across the Fellowship of the Assemblies of God worldwide and right here in the U.S. And so those pretty trucks crisscross the nation. And today you're doing One Day to Feed the World, where you take a day of your working year and invest that into the poor and suffering, make a difference, or sponsor a child for $120 a year. Now, just so you know, $120 sponsors one of the children in our feeding program for a year. So I have three daughters, and I have two granddaughters. I'm surrounded by women. And I told my wife the other day, I said, I can't go to churches and tell them to sponsor. Now, we do one day as a family, so I give one day of my wage, she does one day of her wage. But we sponsor kids every month, and $10 a month, $120 a year. So I said, honey, let's do the three kids. And she goes, well, let's just not do the three kids, let's do the two grandbabies too. So every month, we sponsor five kids. And at the end of the year, we have been providing food to five kids for 12 months, $10 a month. Feeds one of the children in our children's feeding initiative. And so it's an amazing thing. Well, a mom was preparing a pancake breakfast and for her little boys. We'll call them Kevin and Scotty. And the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Now, I have an older brother. I am sure I have fought and wrestled with him at the breakfast table. We were just, you know, I thought in my mind, this has probably happened to me. Their mom saw the perfect opportunity for a moral lesson. This is what she said. Now, boys, hold on a minute. Let me tell you, if Jesus were here sitting at the table, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. So the two boys sat silent for a moment, staring at each other. Then the five-year-old Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, okay, Scotty, you be Jesus. It's funny. Probably not true. But that's what the Holy Spirit's saying to his church and his people all around the earth today. You be Jesus. You go to work. You go to school. You show the world how Jesus would do that job. How Jesus would study in school, how Jesus would maintain integrity, how Jesus would love. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus is for the world. In all the places in the world that I've been where we've preached Christ, he has brought salvation, healing, fullness of God's Spirit, deliverance. We were in Haiti. In fact, I took to your pastor up to Saint-Jacques. To this particular school, and a mom was waiting for me at the stage. I had a team of Trinity Bible College interns, and a beautifully dressed woman was waiting for me, and I thought she wanted to have a few words with me, so I walked up to her, and she said, do you work for Convoy of Hope? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, thank you for the food. And I said, you're welcome. She said, after the earthquake, we came to this little church once a week, and we sat in the back row to endure the church service. And then after the church service, we got our groceries, and we always rejected the gospel until this one night. This evangelist was preaching, and he just said, if you need Jesus Christ, come to the altar and find healing and power and restoration. And she goes, I don't know who or what moved me, but she said, I found myself at the altar confessing my sins and repenting. And I'm like, well, that's good. She goes, oh, that's just the start. She said, I was also demon-possessed. You see, I was the black mamba. I'm the top. I've practiced voodoo my whole life. And she said, I have stores that practice voodoo, and we have these shops. And she said, now that I'm a Christian, I had to shut down all of my businesses, and I believed I was going to go into poverty until I told all my clients, when you come to my shop, I'm no longer going to practice voodoo, but we'll open up the Bible, and I'll tell you about Jesus. So guess what? Madame Celeste, her and her husband are the associates pastor of a little church in St. Jacques that runs about 500 people every Sunday morning. And this is why: greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Whatever you're facing, I don't know why I'm getting the preach on. This is for free. This is not even in my notes. All right, so good. So here's a video of the work that Convoy has been doing around the world. I hope you enjoy it.
Extreme poverty is talked about like it's permanent, that it can never be solved. But we know right now, a different story is being written, a story of world-changing kindness, a story of God's unconditional love, a story of hope. The Convoy of Hope community is making a measurable impact in the fight against hunger, injustice, poverty, and devastation. We're passionate about connecting churches, business owners, civic leaders, and others with vulnerable communities so they can make a tangible difference in the name of Jesus. In just 25 years, we've served 100 million people. Every warm meal, bag of groceries, and smile from a volunteer, the cycle of hopelessness is derailed a little bit more. But the fight isn't over yet. While we've taken great strides to end extreme poverty, we need your help to share Christ's love with those who are hurting. Together, let's keep writing a story of hope.
And glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, I love the Lord's Prayer. I've been just reading it lately, and there's a verse, there's a piece of that that says, when the disciples saw Jesus do all the things that he did, they hung out with Jesus, and he, of course, discipled them. They always came back to his prayer life. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus must have had an amazing communication and intimacy with the Father. Well, we know he did. But it was pretty magnetic for the disciples. He would do all the things and they'd say, Lord, teach us to pray. And so I'm not going to unpack the Lord's Prayer, but there's a line in the prayer that says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Everybody say this, on earth, as it is in heaven. Both and. Both and. So we know Jesus was fully God because he rose from the dead. But he was fully man because he died. We know the Bible is of divine authorship, but God used 44 people to write the book, both and. We serve a both and God. We serve a God who is saying today, Matthew 25, Jesus said, when you do this to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So whoever you serve, the least, the last, the lost, the lonely, you do it in Jesus' name. You make a difference. And then you tell them about Jesus. You share Christ with the world. I am standing here today because of a little Baptist kid named Darren at my high school senior year. I was stoner of the year 4 years in a row at my high school. I was lost. There were churches everywhere where I lived. But one kid shared the gospel of Jesus with me at school. And you know what I did? I took his track and I burned it and I threw it up in the air. And I said, that is what I think about your God. And do you know, 1 month later, I got saved. And I met him at my junior college and ran into the hall and I said, hey, Darren, what's going on? He's like, hey, Jeff. And I said, hey, Darren, something happened in my life this month in Alaska. And he's like, what? I said, I got saved. I'm 18 years old and I accepted Jesus. He was freaking out a little bit like I had OD'd on drugs or something. And he's like, well, welcome to the family of God. And he gave me a good Baptist side hug. And I said, hey, Darren, let's start a Bible study together. And together we started Chi Alpha in Northern California. And we were on 5 university campuses. Here's what Jesus can do. Jesus will meet your needs and he'll see that our physical needs are met. But how many of you know that there is body and soul at stake here? And God is saying, find a way to serve people. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Well, here's the impact to date that we have seen God do. Not only 100 million people served, but today you're helping support 204 children in 14 nations at 1,000 schools and orphanages every single school day. One Day to Feed the World does that. One Day to Feed the World deploys our trucks to our disaster. And here's a quick update that I just got this last night at midnight. This is a video on our hurricane response in the Bahamas as well as the East Coast.
Hey guys, Jeff Meany with Convoy of Hope. Our response teams have been hard at work for the past week, preparing equipment and making plans on how to best respond. We have 2 teams in the Bahamas working on getting supplies to people as quickly as possible. We're coordinating airdrops as well as containers going in on ships. A response team deployed to the Carolinas in anticipation of any damage Dorian may cause as it makes its way up the coast. We have multiple tractor trailer loads of emergency food, water, and supplies already en route. We've connected directly with churches in the Bahamas to help with the distribution phase. Your partnership with Convoy of Hope puts you directly on the front lines of serving people in need. Thank you for your support.
Amen. So we're there. We're being the hands and feet of Jesus. One pastor likes to call it Jesus with skin on. And just to go and show up and serve and meet needs of people. And so thank you for your prayers in that. This is a picture of Hurricane, obviously, Maria that leveled Puerto Rico. Your pastor and Sarai have been there many times to serve. This was a home that we helped work in a rebuilding, Villa de Esperanza, the city of hope where we're currently working, rebuilding dozens and dozens of homes in that neighborhood. This is my buddy, Jorge. He came out of his home, gave me a big old hug, and we're about the same size, right? So this dude he's a big dude, and he comes out, and he just grabs me and wraps me up, gives me a hug, cracked my back in about 4 places, and then he puts me back down, and he goes, you're with Convoy of Hope? I said, yes, sir. And he goes, let me tell you something. He goes, for the first 100 days after Maria leveled Puerto Rico, he said, your food and the water purification kept my family alive. And I'm like, praise God. I go, where's your family? He yells into his house. His wife, 3 teenage boys come out. And they shared their story with us. And he said, see that home over there? He said, that was my home. And this is the picture of his home. He rode out Hurricane Maria in that home. And for fearing looters, he sent his wife and kids away. Well, of course, he was knocked unconscious, tossed around in the home, had to get medical aid himself after the hurricane blew over. And the first one to respond to him was Convoy. And so I just want to say, you make that possible for us to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. This was one of our disaster response. Lots of flood buckets, hygiene kits, open and eat food, pure water. A lot of cleanup is going on there as well. And so you can see this for what it is, that we are able to go and share the love of Jesus with a lot of people, bringing food, water, and supplies. Ronald Reagan said this, simply live. Live generously, live simply, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. I really believe that today. Not only do we believe that hope begins with a meal, you be Jesus. bring that practical help to somebody. Bring some aid, bring some care, bring some life to them. But here's the cool part about Convoy of Hope is we are able to serve Jesus in places that many of us will never go. Many of you in this room looking around, I asked Pastor, beautiful flags. He goes, those flags represent all the nations represented in our church. That's why I feel so strongly today that Convoy of Hope, God has opened the door for us to serve internationally. But here's the difference. We work with and through the local church around the earth. We never go in and set up shop without a local church and a pastor being partnered with us. And so all the nations represented here, Convoy has been in many of those nations. And just seeing how God will take us. Here's one lady, her name's Angelica. She lives in El Salvador, and she's got twin boys. And she grabbed my shirt when I was there last time, very non-typical at all, to kind of pull me close, and she said, thank you for the food. And I said, you're so welcome. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, this food, now I don't have to choose who does not get to eat this weekend in my home. That made a huge impact on me. I thought, what mother would ever want to be in the position of selecting who doesn't get to eat in the home? I mean, that's just, moms are shaking their heads going, no, that's not going to happen. And yet that was the condition of her life about 5 years ago. Her boys are in the school where we serve food. I said, how's it going? She said, it's going really good. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, the kids no longer need naps mid-morning, and they come to school ready to learn, bright-eyed, ready to go, nourished, with access to clean drinking water. But here's the coolest part. They have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ in the public school system. They preach and teach Jesus. I preach chapel in a public school. Go figure. And I'm just thinking, God, they're one of many of the stories. Here's Managua, Sandino Garbage Dump. 2,000 families live there. We support them. We stand with them. Life-giving churches that are there. Water purification in Haiti. One of the first systems, in fact. And this picture kind of cracked me up. I've taken your pastor to this school in Haiti. The kids all stood, and they all got served. And we're all standing up against the wall with our cell phones, right? How would you feel eating dinner with people taking pictures of you? It was a little weird. The poor kids. And this little boy right in the middle began to pray. And he began to pray loud. And he prayed like this. Lord Jesus, bless Convoy of Hope and keep the food coming. And they sit down and it's quiet. Why is it quiet? Because it's time to eat, folks. Let's stop chattering. Let's start eating. And these kids were full of life. We played with them. We loved on them. We asked them how their relationship with Jesus was going. We made sure they had a copy of God's word. And we made sure that they were in a safe space and place. And guess what? Food is the beginning of that journey. Here's some of the women in our women's empowerment program: Tanzania, Ethiopia, the Philippines, to name a few countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua. We have programs in all of those countries. One of our farmers in Haiti, his name is Omega, by the way, and he just looks like a stud with his big old implement. Guess what? He's never ridden a tractor. We brought a tractor to our Haiti agriculture initiative. They just wigged out when this thing came off the truck. It was like, look at this. Look at the work this can do. We're seeing Haiti grow more and better food, getting that back online. And so we're just so thankful for that. This is in Honduras, and these are kids in Guatemala. And then this is Christina from El Salvador, and she's a beautiful girl. This is a young lady named Elena. Elena was raised at the Sandino garbage dump until age 10. At age 12, she had her first child. By she was 20, she had four children living on the streets, human trafficking, keeping her baby, trying to keep her children alive, and her life was a disaster. One day, a lady on the street said, have you ever heard of women's empowerment? She said, I have no idea what you're talking about. She goes, would you get in my vehicle and let me take you there? And she did. And this woman rescued her from a life on the streets, filthy, awful, the condition that she came in. And she immediately said to these women, why are you doing this? And they said, because we love God and we really believe in you. That day, she was on a new trajectory of her life to get not only off of drugs, off of the streets, out of the lifestyle, but she found freedom in Jesus. She accepted Christ as her Savior. She started to start some businesses where she could make and create things and sell them and provide food for her family. Long story short, you're looking at one of the women's directors for the country of Nicaragua. Amen. She took us back to the place where her house was, in the garbage dump. And I said, Elena, I cannot believe you were raised. She goes, I can't either. I said, how do you feel now? And this is what she said. Clean. Inside and out. That's one lady's story. And I just thought, God, thank you. Here's her life verse. She said, he lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes and places them in seats of honor. That's one of her life verses. I love that verse. Well, Mark Buntaine said this, an empty stomach has no ears. What does that mean? Both and. We meet physical needs. We talk about spiritual life in Christ. Both and. Mark Buntaine knew that when he went to Calcutta, India in the early 50s, that the Indian orphan and the people that he was working with in Calcutta couldn't hear because their stomachs were growling, their heads were pounding, they were malnourished, and they weren't receiving the gospel. So he started a feeding program in Jesus' name. When I was there, they served 25,000 families a day in Calcutta. And I thought to myself, Lord, you open the door, but it's nothing new because the word of God says when you take care of the poor and suffering, God takes care of your business. Paraphrasing that verse. So here's what Micah says. Simply put, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. What is do justice and love mercy? That's horizontal. That's the physical. What is walk humbly with God? That's the vertical, both and. God wants both and Christians in his church, people who will address physical justice needs, social justice needs, as well as preaching the gospel and telling others about Jesus before it's too late. So what does God do? He says, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. You really can't say you love God if you can't stand people. You can't say, hey, I just love Jesus with all my heart, but I cannot stand him or her or them. I've been a pastor long enough, folks, to know, man, you're not pulling any wool over God's eyes. Anybody can raise their hands and simulate worship, but only God changes the heart and gives you a heart for people. So are we the same when we're in the house of God? And God's saying it's not an option to not love my creation made in my image. All the while we claim to love him. And here's the difference. When God does a work in history, he brings social and structural change. The Great Awakening, William Wilberforce in London, England. Social justice of abolishing slavery and revival ensues. And guess what? The first piece of legislation and documentation that came over on a ship made it into the hands of Abraham Lincoln. England began to deal with the social injustices as well as America. And the church's people, the church is in the redemption business. Some of the greatest revivals have come to our world because somebody said, what problem can we solve? So today, what's your problem? What's the problem that God's laid on your life, on your heart to say, I can solve that problem? Are we going to solve hunger in one day? No. Are we going to solve the fact that today, while we are in this service, and in a 24-hour period of time, 25,000 people, including adults and children, will perish. And for us, it's unacceptable at Convoy of Hope. For us, we just say, God, keep us up at night to solve these big problems. Matthew 22, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind and strength. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, both and. Horizontal and vertical. God is saying, love me, but also love people and preach Christ wherever you go. So vertical and horizontal, upward and outward, you could say. So you're part of solving a big problem at Convoy of Hope in the world. Not only does your one day help feed and nourish people, but it gives them hope for tomorrow. It's beyond today. And so sponsoring a child, $120 for the year, sponsoring five, giving a day's wage, doing your best, and saying, God, I am investing in a ministry that can make an eternal difference. There are two beams on the cross. One is horizontal, one is vertical, both and. One reaches out to man, the other one reaches up to God to get the strength and the resource to reach out to man. Compassion towards the weak, holiness towards God, both and. God says, I want both. We're always tempted to say, well, which one is more important? My relationship with God? God says, I want both. The great temptation is to say, I'm making such a great difference in this world by feeding hungry people. We could do this at Convoy. We're making such a difference that God no longer cares about what I do personally. And so we can let our personal lives get off the rail. How many pastors and ministers and friends do I know involved in ministry who leave an unchecked personal life and then all of a sudden they're success in ministry, but they are a failure in their personal life? So God says, no, I don't want that. We could say, hey, God, you know, I'm lifting my hands, I'm tithing, I'm giving to missions, I serve in Sunday school, and I've been part of this church for decades. Lord, that gives me a pass, right, to not give to missions and not help the poor and suffering. And God says, no, you don't get a pass. You don't get a pass for just knowing me and doing nothing. No amens, nothing. Nobody said amen there. Amen? Because that's the truth. Because you will not be evaluated based on just your personal walk alone. What does he say? Well done, good and faithful pastor. Good and faithful missionary. Good and faithful businessman. It's servant. How do you serve God? By serving people. Many times that's the expression. And so God is wanting to make himself known. He's wanting to say to us, hey, you be Jesus. The heart of Jesus is both and. Rescuing people from the hell of God's judgment and rescuing folks from a hellish existence now. And I say, what a great deal. God, bring the kingdom. Bring the ever-increasing rule and reign of Jesus. Well, this is a family that their world changed in 1969 in August. The mom and the dad on this couch were on their way to a church business meeting. They had got a babysitter for the kids. And on the way to church, a drunken driver hit them head on, going in the opposite lane, and crashed into them and instantly killed the man on the left. The mom on the right was pinned back together and wasn't sure if they were going to make it. She was in the hospital for months. The four kids were informed as deacons and elders and church members appeared to the house. And they knocked on the door and said, your dad is in heaven and your mom's clinging for life. You see, he was the pastor of the local church where they lived. And those four kids' lives changed. They moved in and a neighbor took them in and took them down the street into this little single wide trailer where the children piled in. They already had five of their own. And so there were nine people living in a single wide. When Mrs. was well, she came back. 10 people living in a single wide trailer for over a year. And the kids remembered acts of kindness. They remembered how God used people to bring food and take them out to buy shoes and buy maybe a new pair of jeans. But they were in poverty. They remembered both and. They remember somebody meeting practical needs, and then they remembered Bill Davis, the man of this house, speak life into the kids' lives and say, Jesus loves you. There's a purpose for this. We don't know what it is, but serve God. Put your eyes on Jesus. And Bill indirectly discipled three boys and a girl that lived in his home. Well, one of those boys grew up and decided, hey, I want to give back and I want to do something significant with my life. They filled up the back of a pickup truck, went to the neighborhood, and dropped off groceries and said, thank you for helping us in our time of need. It felt so good, they did it again. And Convoy of Hope was birthed. That was 25 years ago, and that is the kid sitting on the couch in the middle. His name is Hal Donaldson. And 25 years ago, he started a ministry called Convoy of Hope, and God has taken it to show kindness and love to the world. So you're part of this movement. I love what Pastor John Lindell, my pastor, said. He said, no matter what you have done, you are never outside the reach of God's love. And so today, as we close, there's only one thing worse than being lost. It's being lost with no one looking for you. Today, Silver Spring Assembly, you're not only helping people in their time of need, but you're helping reach the lost in Jesus' name. How many of you remember what it was like to not know Jesus? I hope you never forget that, because that's the way a watching world feels today without Christ. They're trying to solve all their problems without God, without Christ. And today, we can change that. So enjoy this story. This little girl's name is Kate. I met her about 7 years ago when she was 10 years old. She's one of the kids in our feeding program in the Philippines. And notice what happens in her life.
Convoy of Hope is a faith-based organization that brings the love of Jesus to those who are impoverished and suffering. One day to feed the world is your way to bring all of that to those we help. So, how can you take part? It's simple. Give one day's wage through One Day to Feed the World.
One day transform my everyday.
Yes, sometimes I go to bed, I have no food in my stomach. If I don't have enough food, I can't concentrate in my studying, and I can't understand what my teacher was saying to me. Thank you, because the food that they give to us will not be masasayang. Will not be wasted.
I'm turning 16 this November. I'm in college. I'm taking up hotel and restaurant services. By God's grace, we have our food now. I'm so grateful, and I will be forever grateful that Convoy of Hope is as a sponsor of our church for me to continue my study and have my meal. Sometimes before, I'm thinking that we're the most poor people in the world, but as I'm looking around here at our community, I saw a lot of people, they were more poor than us. Studying hard now for my future, and someday I promise to myself I'm going to help them. Help my community here, our community and our church. And I will someday become the sponsor of our church. Like you guys. So thankful.
Amen. Story of Kate. And Kate is one of tens of thousands of kids that we really feel called to serve. Their families, the moms and women's empowerment, the farmers, the men and women, boys and girls that just need a hand up, not a hand out. Because Convoy just doesn't roll in with goods and stuff. We roll in with skills and teaching. So they get out and breaking those cycles of extreme poverty in Jesus' name. And so today I want to just leave you with this. Jim Palmer, one of my favorite authors, writers, he says it this way. Telling people that God loves them is good theology. Showing people that you love them is what transforms the world. And we believe that at Convoy of Hope. So today, wherever you're at, your pastor told me he's taking this all through the month of September. If you came prepared to give today, fantastic. Sponsor a child, do a day's wage. Do what the Lord has laid on your heart, and know this, your gifts, your prayers are making a difference. If I could leave you with one thing, and this was my prayer for you, that God would give us his heart for those who don't know Jesus, the least, the marginalized, the people that maybe are in the shadows where you live, where I live, that you would become both and Christians, that you would be watching for the least, the last, the lost, and the lonely, and that you would show compassion and kindness. And who knows what could happen when you share Jesus with somebody. And so today I want to leave you with that. I want to pray for you. Pastor's going to come. Lord, thank you for Silver Spring Assembly. Thank you for the good people that are here. Thank you for Pastor and Sarai. God, I ask you to bless this church. Thank you for their heart for missions, their heart for compassion, and Lord, their trust and relationship with us at Convoy of Hope. I ask you to bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so much. Amen. One day you and I will stand before Jesus and we will hear one of two things. Jesus will say to us, I was hungry and you fed me. Or Jesus will say, I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. Every single one of us, the Bible tells us, is going to hear one of those two things when we stand before God. Jesus is going to look right at me and ask me, and say that to me, I was hungry and you fed me, and I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. One of those is what I'm going to hear. It's going to be in the context of Jesus asking me a question that he is going to ask every single one of us. The Bible teaches us very clearly that one day I'm going to stand before God, and God is going to look right at me, and he is going to ask me this question: what did you do with the money? I want you to catch that for a second. I will stand before God one day, and he will ask me very clearly. It's taught to us in the parable of the talents, when they were brought back and the master came. I will stand before God one day and look at him, and God is going to look right at me and say, what did you do with the money? I want to know that I have a good answer on that day. I want to know that I can answer well. I want to hear, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I know you want to hear it as well, but to hear that, we've got to do it. Now, I came into today, my wife and I, we came in today intending to know that we would cover two children for a day through Convoy of Hope. It was our plan to, I have two children, and my children, even though we went through up and down times over the years, my kids never had to miss a meal, so I thought, let's make sure we do two children. That makes my gift $240 to Convoy of Hope today. But I was challenged today when Brother Jeff was speaking, because he threw his grandchildren in on that one as well as he does, so I need to tell my kids to stop having kids. No, and because that makes it five. I do have three grandchildren as well. And so you know what? My wife and I are stretching ourselves. We said, you know what? We're going to do all five. We're going to do a $600 gift. And I know then that there are five children for the entire next year. You saw Kate's story in that video. I want to know that there are five more Kates. Because although Convoy's already feeding 200,000 children a day around the world, there are over 150,000 children on their waiting list. And for me to know that personally I can reduce that number by five, I want to know that I do that. I want to challenge you today. All across the room, there are envelopes. They say Convoy of Hope on them. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Many of you came today prepared to give to it. You can give through that envelope. You can give through the app. You can give online. But I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you, and I'm setting that bar at $120. If you can do that, do everything you can to know that you cover at least a child for the year. If you didn't come today to be prepared to do it, to try to make sure you get it in the month of September. Here's what we don't want to do. You know how easy it is to come to church, and I know none of you would ever do it, but I'll just use this illustration anyway, and throw a few dollars in an offering and then go out to lunch and drop 50 bucks at Fridays. Come on, am I telling the truth or what? You know I'm speaking the truth, right? It's easy for me to drop a few dollars in the offering and then go spend $70 at a restaurant just for lunch. We can do that. So maybe for today, we'll go home and eat some peanut butter sandwiches. Hello. right? For a day, we could do that. For a couple of days, say, you know what? We're going to scratch the restaurant for today. The money we would have spent, let's feed a kid. Let's sponsor a kid for a year and know that they're covered. You know, $120 feeds a child for the day. And I'm hoping there's some people in here who have like 20 grandchildren, and then they're going to outgive me big time because they'll cover all of them. And you do what you can. Our ushers are going to come. We're going to worship God in our giving. I trust that they're, I see them moving in the back. We're going to give now. If they'd come and join me at the front of the room. Amen.